Thank you, sir.
Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Let us hear God's word. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And then reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him, meaning Jesus, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. Even this very day, you have fed us with the bread of the earth. But now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would feed us with the manna that falls from heaven, that you would feed us with your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. As y'all knew, I grew up in Florida, and in our backyard we would have orange trees and grapefruit trees. And one particular day, a friend of my dad's came over, and he brought with him a sliver of another kind of orange tree. And what he did, he sliced one of the limbs of the orange tree in our yard, and he grafted the sliver in. And amazingly, over time, it began to produce a fruit that had in common the tree and the branch that was engrafted in. The sliver from the engrafted branch, it fed off of the branch and the root of the original tree, and eventually it became a part of the tree. Well, he who has become a Christian has been engrafted into a tree, into the tree of life. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. When we become Christians, we are inseparably joined to Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, we have been engrafted into Christ. We have this spiritual union with him. And because of this union that we have with Jesus, we feed off of him. And the fruit that is produced is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the human nature of Jesus. We begin to think like him and speak like him. We begin to display the glory of Christ in our own life. In other words, as the scriptures tell us, we're being conformed to the image of Jesus. Galatians chapter 3. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Romans chapter 8. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. The Apostle John, when he appears, we shall be like him. God performs the office of the gardener. Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches. And by the Holy Spirit, binding us in union with Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, bridging the gap between heaven and earth, just like the orange trees in my backyard, we are engrafted into Christ. We begin to feed off of Jesus. What is unique to Christ then starts to run through our spiritual veins. And the fruit of the kingdom of God begins to be produced in our life. The Holy Spirit bridges and unites things that are separated by time and space and dimension. As Paul writes to the Colossians, he says, it is Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Our salvation is dependent upon this union. Jesus does the work of salvation, but it is the Holy Spirit who applies the work of Christ to our lives. And without this union, we're lost. We need to understand that our union with God through Christ is a legislative union. What is emphasized here is that there is a relationship with us and Jesus that is legally binding. It cannot be broken by any person. It cannot even be broken by Christ himself. It is a covenant, an agreement that is established by a legal authority. Thus, it is binding. Marriage is kind of an example of this. Your marriage is a covenant. It's an agreement that is established by a legal authority, the church and the state. And in this legislative union, everything that is attributed to one spouse becomes the possession of the other spouse. If the spouse that you marry is rich, congratulations! You become rich too. If the spouse that you marry is in debt, I'm sorry to tell you, but you just signed yourself into debt. Marriage, you see, signifies a legal union of two persons, for better or for worse. So it is with Jesus and us. In the covenant between God and us, all that we have becomes Christ's. All that Christ has becomes ours. What is ours that becomes Jesus? It's our sin. Our sin is laid upon Jesus. As our passage this morning said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. What belongs to me, what is rightly mine, is my sin. But in this engrafting, in this legislative agreement, what is mine, my sin, becomes the possession of Jesus. And of course, we know what happened to Jesus. Cursed is he who hangs on a tree. He was crucified for our sins. But what is Jesus, what belongs to him, becomes ours. Well, what is it that he has that becomes ours? Let me finish reading you the passage. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, here it comes, get ready, we might become the righteousness of God. He gets our sin. Praise be to God. We get his righteousness. We are credited with a righteousness that is not our own. Listen to what Paul writes to the Romans. Now, a righteousness from God. A righteousness from God is not a righteousness from you. It's not a righteousness that you earned. It is a righteousness from God. Apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. from Genesis to Revelation. You see, it's one story. Yeah, they're different books, different authors, but it's all one story. From Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit reveals to us in the Scriptures that we are sinners, but that God freely bestows a righteousness on those who would believe Him and trust His Word and receive Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What do the Scriptures say? Abraham believed God. He believed what God said. What was it that God said to Abraham? You're going to have a son, even though you're 100 years old. That's what He said. And your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky, even though you're 100 years old. Abraham believed that. It seemed impossible. Seems impossible today, doesn't it? But Abraham believed it. He trusted God's word. And the Scriptures say Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It doesn't say Abraham was righteous. It doesn't say what Abraham did made him righteous. No, it said that by believing and trusting God's word, even though Abraham was a sinner just like you and I, go back and read about him in the Old Testament there in Genesis. He's a big sinner. But because he believed God's word, God credited it to him as righteousness. 1,000 years later, Jesus is going to earn that righteousness. But even for the Old Testament saints, the righteousness of Christ is being credited to them for those who believe. So what that means is that as Christ is victorious over sin and death, we will be victorious over sin and death. As the human nature of Christ is now perfected and glorified in heaven, so shall our bodies and our souls be perfected and glorified in heaven. The Apostle John says, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So whatever is attributed to Jesus, the human nature of Jesus, is now being applied to you. And this engrafting, this union that we have with Christ through the Holy Spirit is represented here in this table. You know, when you go to the store and you pay for your groceries, they give you a receipt. All right? Bought and paid for. Here's the receipt. This is our receipt right here. It says that you have been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. It is a living receipt to show you that salvation is accomplished and you are being changed. You're in the process of being sanctified to be like Jesus. Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him, just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Jesus says, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Take and drink from the cup. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many because of the remission of sins. By bidding us to take, eat, and drink, Jesus sets the table apart. The bread and the wine, though they are simply representation, because it is not really the body of Christ, and it is really not the blood of Jesus. It represents it. Yet it is still true that the body and the blood of Christ is applied to you through the work of the Holy Spirit as you partake of this table in faith. There is a mystery here in this table. The Apostle Paul says that it is the mystery of Christ in us. Christ in us. You know, that's good to know, because I look at my life and I see the sin in my life and I think, if it were not for Christ in me, preserving me, protecting me, I would have been cast off long, long time ago, because I have no righteousness of my own. But there is a righteousness from God. The righteousness that Jesus Christ has earned, that is free to all those who will believe. And just as bread and drink nourish our physical bodies, the Holy Spirit takes this bread and this drink and makes it real food, real spiritual food for us as we partake in faith. Do you believe what the Scriptures have to say? Do you believe what the Scriptures have to say? In other words, using the allegory of the grafting of one plant to another, the sliver must remain in the vine. It must remain in the branch in order for it to survive. If it comes out, it withers and dies. But if it remains in the tree, in the branch, it will feed off the root in the trunk of the tree and produce good fruit. Thus you see, it's no longer we who live, but it is Christ who lives in us, empowering us to live godly lives, to live to the love of Christ, to the love of our neighbor. It is God Himself who has applied and given to us a righteousness that is not our own. We must remain in Christ. The Scriptures say that Jesus says, all who come to Him, He will not drive away. Do you believe what He says? Jesus has never turned away anyone who has come to Him. I encourage you this morning, if you have not already given your life to Christ, to do so. And if you have given your life to Christ, I want to encourage you, as you struggle with the world, the flesh, and the devil, the victory is yours, because of the victory is Jesus's. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies to us. They are new every morning. We thank You for the righteousness that